T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2006, 18, I don't know. You know, we will never know how many, you know, how many we lost. I hate that people make it a political issue. This is about human beings, and, you know, the people that went through this, they know what happened. And, you know, we have our population, 19% of our population are elderly, you know, it's old people, just put it that way. And the effect of September 16th, the rain and the winds and whatever happens, maybe 18 people die, but the after effects, people don't talk about that. And when you don't have food, you don't have water, no communication, no medicine, then this happens.
All right, those are the comments from earlier today. Alex Cora before the Red Sox win tonight over the Blue Jays. I want to talk about that, get your thoughts on where you stand. It's going to get a lot of attention. I have a feeling it'll be a topic of conversation on the Kirk and Callahan show tomorrow morning. We talked about throughout the day. But Alex Cora, who's from Puerto Rico, right? He's a native of Puerto Rico, and he responded to some comments made by President Trump. President Trump had tweeted out this morning, he sent a tweet out, I think it was in the very early morning hours. I don't remember exactly when it was, but I think I was still on the radio doing my overnight show. So that tells you that it was very early in the morning. And he was reacting to the news reports out of Puerto Rico because they're following up Hurricane Maria, which hit Puerto Rico in 2017. Now that this is Hurricane Florence coming through the Carolinas. And President Trump said 3,000 people did not die in the two hurricanes that hit Puerto Rico. The president said, when I left the island after the storm had hit, they had anywhere from 6 to 18 deaths. And Trump said, quote, as time went by, it did not go up by much. Then the president said a long time later, they started to report really large numbers, like 3,000. So that was what you heard, a little reaction of Alex Cora there, a little clip. He had a lot to say. But that was in reaction, what Cora said, to the comments Donald Trump posted on Twitter. Cora said that Donald Trump's words were, quote, disrespectful to his native Puerto Rico. And he said the issue does not lie with how many deaths were reported, but simply that there were people affected who were hurting for an extended period of time. And see, this is where it gets political. I've never been to Puerto Rico. I don't know the inner workings of the island, but there are some that are saying that it was the local government officials and the infrastructure in Puerto Rico that were the problem. Other people are saying that that's not the case, that it was a federal government issue. I don't know. I wasn't part of that, but I do know that Alex Cora has now put himself in a Donald Trump-related storyline. So want to get your thoughts on this, in addition to where the Red Sox are as far as the pitching's concerned and all that, but did Alex Cora make a mistake? Did he make a mistake? Did he step in something that he shouldn't step in? First of all, he's very passionate about this. That's the first thing. Right, this is something that hits close to home. I get it. For him, this is a big deal, and completely understandable that he would want to speak out about it. But this goes against everything that he has done all year as far as staying out of stuff. What's been the big? Has there been any controversy at all, at least directly related to Alex Cora? At the top of my head, I can't think of any. And so now you're going to get exhausting coverage of this. You know, it might be just a 24-hour story now, but the way this stuff normally works, and I'm telling you, I've seen this before with other non-political stories. This is a political story. It is going to come back. Right? The power struggle is real with the media, and you're trying to get a reaction. You can write a story about, you know, the Red Sox and their pitching staff for the playoffs, and you'll check it out, you'll read it. But you put a story out there about the Red Sox manager calling Donald Trump's words disrespectful, and that's cranking it up a couple of notches, is what it is. And so this is going to have the boomerang effect, even if the story goes away in the next day or so, assuming that the president doesn't add on and pour some fire on top of it. If the story just kind of fades away a little bit, it'll come back around. The boomerang, it'll come back around when the playoffs get going, because someone's going to be fishing in the media for a story. And then be like, hey, wait a minute, I got something here. I can bring up the issue in Puerto Rico, bring up President Trump, and see if the fish are biting. See if Alex Cora adds on to it and says something. All right, so I don't know where you stand on this, and we'll take your phone calls here, and also on the game itself, the Red Sox beating the Blue Jays with help of a dropped pop-up, the kind of play you would see on a Saturday morning at a Little League field. 617-779-7937 if you'd like to be part. Let's go to the phones, and let's say hello to Matt, who's up first here on Red Sox Review. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You tell me, what's on your mind, Matt? What you got?
So, I was at the game tonight, and man, my eyes hurt watching Joe Kelly pitch. The guy needs to get out of town. Bullpens win championships, because you can't have a starter go 9 innings each and every game, especially in the World Series. Because you can have a starter go 6 or 7 innings. The bullpen is what counts. And if we're going to beat the Astros and Yankees, we need a deep bullpen, and our bullpen needs to get its act together. It can't go give up 3 runs or 2 runs, especially against the Astros, who have a history of coming back late in the game.
But you do know, Matt, those other teams in the American League also have flawed bullpens. It's not like the Red Sox are alone. There are issues with those other teams that are going to be in the playoffs too.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like the Red Sox, it's been a problem for them this year. I think if the bullpen was a little stronger, we wouldn't be at 101 wins. We'd be at maybe 105, 106. And you got to feel the bad for like E-Rod, who's like, damn, my bullpen just blew a win for me. It's like, I think it's just not something. It's something that Dombrowski will have to look into in the offseason, because we can't just keep signing and letting these starters go 7 innings and have the bullpen just collapse on us. Kimbrel's a beast. Kimbrel is definitely the best guy in the bullpen. He's shaky at times, but I mean, he's well on his way to a Hall of Fame career, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, he's been great, but I mean, that's the issue. I mean, Dombrowski, he had a chance to make some deals at the deadline to get other guys in the bullpen, and he said, well, we're getting players back, and we don't need it. But you're not going to have perfect, you know, you're talking about really one extra guy in the bullpen. If the starters are going to go 7 innings, you got to get through the 8th inning and then the 9th inning. But if it doesn't matter. If Sale comes out and Price come out in the playoffs and they're pitching 5 innings, you know, you're not going to be able to survive. No one's going to be. If your starting pitchers are going 5 innings and your bullpen's getting tossed out there and exposed, that is it's a deflation. You're not going to be able to win.
Yeah, it's a fact. And I have another. What happened to Pomeranz? Like, what? Where is he? Did he just like fall off the face of the earth? Like, whatever happened to him?
Well, have you seen him pitch, Matt?
I've seen him pitch, and it hurt my eyes.
Yeah, I think you have the answer there. All right, thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. Well, the other thing about the bullpen too is the annoying nature of relief pitching in general, which it sucks. I was thinking like some of the numbers. I'll give you an example. Let me give you an example of what I mean by the relief pitching. You look at the Red Sox and Dave Dombrowski. One of his big moves to improve the Red Sox bullpen going back in the offseason, a guy that they were so excited about, was Tyler Thornburg. Remember Tyler Thornburg? You look at his numbers before he got to the Red Sox, and he was hurt last year. But in 2016 and 2015 with the Milwaukee Brewers, but in particular 2016, he had an ERA of like 2 in the Brewers bullpen, and pitched very well. Pitched in almost 70 games for Milwaukee. He has the injury problem. Comes back. The Red Sox are thinking, man, we got something. This guy's going to be good. And you know, he hasn't pitched that much this year. He's had issues and all that. Things have popped up. But this year with the Red Sox, an ERA of almost 5. And the Red Sox were like, they thought they were getting the guy that was going to have the ERA of like 2. And it's the inexact science of the relief pitching. All right. Let's go here. Let's see. Where shall we go? Let's go to Paul in Westfield, who's next. It is Red Sox Review. The Sox win tonight. Talking about that. And also the comments of Alex Corey, comments on President Trump's tweets. What's going on, Paul the Poet?
Big Ben, I do have a 30-second Mallard poet on 101 wins, but silence. Why are you instigating that Alex Corey had the nerve to imply that naval ships sat idle for 7 days? While not 80 or 90, but several thousand people were gone. Oh, what's a $2,900 error? It's not his belt.
I couldn't understand a lot of that, Paul, because your phone was breaking up. But all right. And we don't even get the poem. See, look at that. That's called expert producing.
We lucked out.
You avoided a limerick, which would have been something. I don't know if it would have been something good, but it definitely would have been something. That is for sure. Let's go to Ralph, who's in New York, and Ralph is next. Hello, Ralph. What's going on, man?
Yeah, so a couple things. One is, I don't really care what Alex Cora thinks politically. I'm only interested in the baseball part. He can have his opinion. I don't think he should express it publicly because he's a baseball manager, and we don't really – he's not an expert on political matters. So his opinion is no different to me than anybody on the street, and I think he should keep his opinions to himself. And even if they're asking him the question, he should just, you know, beg off. That's my opinion there. Number two is, I think you thought that that E-Rod was the key in the bullpen. I disagree. I really think that there's one pitcher who's the key bullpen pitcher, and to me that is Steven Wright, and I'll tell you why. Because when you're throwing Sale and Price, and maybe you're throwing Porcello third, you're still going to need a fourth pitcher because I think there's only one day between one day off. So, but the reason I think Wright is key is because you're going from fastball pitcher. Let's say they have problems. You switch to a knuckleballer. These players, these hitters, are focusing on their video, which is going to be on Price and Sale. And if it's Porcello, it's Porcello. But they're not going to spend a lot of time with a knuckleballer because if a knuckleballer is on, he's unhittable. And Steven Wright has shown that. He had early success in the season being somewhat unhittable because his knuckleball was really on. And if he's not, you know, he's going to get hit. But I think when you switch in the middle of a game like that, and you throw a knuckleballer out there, it messes with the heads of the hitters, and I think that's their key. The other thing is David Price, he's no guarantee to go more than two innings. He hasn't shown that he can pitch in the playoffs. Granted, he's pitching well right now, but he pitched well in Tampa also. He had great seasons, and he was terrible in the playoffs.
Yeah, so that's fair. Listen, Ralph, that's fair. I mean, until these guys, and not just him, but Sale, he only was in the playoffs last year, and Porcello has been in. These guys have not gotten it done, so you can't be overly confident. But the knuckleball thing, the fluttering nature of a knuckleball, you're saying, Ralph, you would rather depend on an erratic, unpredictable pitch than E-Rod out of the bullpen.
Well, no, because I think E-Rod has to start game four. You can't. You only have one day off. You're not going to go back to Sale after 3 days rest. He's not going to be able to pitch on 3 days rest, especially you know, coming back from an injury. So I think you're going to need a game four starter, and that has to be E-Rod or Porcello, one of the two. So you're going to have to have a guy come out.
We'll find out. But thank you, Ralph. I appreciate it. But the knuckleballer in the playoffs, if you look at like the history, and I like the knuckleball. I have ranted and raved. I have evangelized. And no one in baseball will listen to me. For years, I have said I can come up with the most dominating pitcher in baseball. And everyone ignores me. They point at me and laugh at me and they say, what's wrong with you? But if you can take a pitcher, I'll give you an example. Like Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly throws in the high 90s and frustrates everyone, gives him heartburn because he's all over the place. He's a hot mess, but he throws really hard. You take a pitcher like that and you master the knuckleball, which is all about, you know, the unpredictable motion, the movement, through the air and all that, of the ball kind of fluttering through the area between the mound and home plate. And if you can master that, you know, master that and get the trajectory as it changes through the flight path to home plate down. And you know, guys, as that last caller said, they get all twisted into a pretzel trying to hit a good knuckleball. And then when you get two strikes, you go from throwing, most knuckleball pitchers are in the, you know, the 30s, 40 miles an hour range. Let's say like mid 30s to, you know, high 40s, a good knuckleball pitcher. You get a couple of strikes on a hitter throwing a pitch in the 40 mile an hour range. And then you're able to throw, if you can throw it for a strike, 90 miles an hour plus in the strike zone. There's no way anyone will be able to catch up with that pitch. If you're expecting a knuckleball, even if you know it's coming, even if you know it's coming after seeing a couple of knuckleballs, you'd be unstoppable. But hey, listen, you're like the black sheep when you throw the knuckleball. It's not popular. We know that there's only a handful of guys in baseball at any time that throw the pitch. But I'm telling you, if someone would do that, that would be as dominant as the old sky hook back in the day in the NBA. I mean, obviously it's different because I'm talking about baseball, but man. All right, it is Red Sox Review here. Let's take another call real quick. Let's go to Kwame, who's up next on Red Sox Review here on WEEI. You want to comment on Alex Cora. What's going on, Kwame?
Well.
Hello, you're on the radio. What's up, man? Talk to me.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I think I can. Yeah, I think I can. Yeah, pretty sure I can.
Well,
yeah.
My comment is this. I think Alex Cora has the right to answer a question that was asked of him. And I think what he said is only in line with all of the evidence that's been researched that talks about 2,975 people that died from the effects of the storm. And what bothers me is that so many people are willing to accept Donald Trump's lies, and they don't accept truth that comes from two recognized universities, like Harvard did a study, and I think it's George Washington or somebody else did a study that says that over 2,900 people died. And I can't understand why people won't accept that, because they will listen to Trump, who has told more than 4,200 lies since he's been in office, and they want to hold this guy up. We don't have any standards anymore. Anybody can say rude stuff, criticize people when it's wrong, and want the Attorney General of the United States to go in and squash people's right to disagree with him. So that's all I got to say. I want to just say that as a citizen of the United States, Alex Cora has a right to express.
Well, yeah, listen, he does. You're right, Kwame. Thanks for the call, Kwame. Here's the other thing. Look how worked up you're getting, right? Look, you are, this is a very passionate thing here. You bring up, and that's what I'm talking about. Like the obvious elephant in the room here, that any question about Donald Trump is a loaded question. It's a loaded question. So do you answer a loaded question? These guys are pretty good about avoiding loaded questions. But yeah, you know, Kwame, why people choose to believe certain things or don't choose to believe other things. Because there's the belief by a lot of people, and you say, well, this is because of President Trump or whatnot, but there's a belief that the way stories are presented are in a biased nature, And those that love President Trump believe that a lot of the news reports are presented to make him look horrific. You obviously, Kwame, feel that these are completely accurate and that there's no embellishing, no puffing up these stories for a political agenda. But we're talking about Alex Cora here and his comments. We played him earlier. We'll play some more of that a little bit later as the Red Sox win tonight. It is Red Sox Review. We'll take more of your calls. 617-779-7937. If you would like to be part, we'll take your calls here. And also, is there a catching crisis? What do I mean by that? We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
To be tweeting about 3,000 people and be efficient, and it's actually disrespectful for my country. We see it that way. I know probably he doesn't feel that way. And like I said, hey, man, thank you for helping us. He went down there. He did what he did. I hate talking about politics and all that, but I think this is more than politics.
All right, the comments of Alex Cora before the Red Sox win tonight over the Blue Jays. Getting your thoughts on that. People are worked up. He did say something that's interesting, though, because in that, now Puerto Rico is American territory, right? Isn't that the way that works? It's not, obviously not a state, but it's American territory. And he said it's disrespectful to my country. Does he mean it's disrespectful to Puerto Rico, disrespectful to America? Because Puerto Rico is part of American territory. So there's, you know, poke and prod if you want, but he takes issue with President Trump's tweets from earlier today, and it gets down into a question of, while saying, I hate getting into politics, he decided to do a belly whopper, the Red Sox manager, into the political theater. And as we heard, we took a call from this guy, Kwame, who was all worked up. Very upset, and that there's reactions on both sides to what Alex Cora said. My position, first of all, does he have the right to say it? Yes. But this goes against everything that Cora has done this year as far as staying out of it. Clearly, he feels that he was asked about it, and he felt like this was a big enough deal to comment on it. But mostly benign comments by Alex Cora. Harmless, innocuous, nothing that would be considered toxic in any way. And now he's done it. Now he's stepped into it. And I'm telling you, my prediction, it is going to come back. This story is going to have some legs, and he'll have to revisit this before the Red Sox get going in the postseason. We'll take your calls here. Let's go to, where shall we go? Let's go to AJ, who's up next here on WEEI. What's going on, AJ?
My man, Ben, hollering out in the East Coast. What you doing, man? I hear you.
I'm talking into a microphone, AJ, is what I'm doing. I'm glad you stayed on hold, AJ. You know, last time you called, you didn't stay on hold long enough. That's a bad job, buddy.
Well, that's because your other executive producer kept me on hold for like almost 90 minutes. I don't have time for that. Okay, Ben, check it out.
Yes.
First of all, you triggered an East Coaster. You don't bring, even though it is a story, come on, man, you brought politics into sports. Okay.
No, AJ, I didn't bring it in sports. Alex Cora was asked about it. He it's an interesting story. How is it not an interesting story? Of course it's an interesting story.
There's other interesting stuff like Flacco getting the crap beat out of him, okay, right now.
Would you like me to, AJ, that's bold. So on Red Sox Review, you would like me to break down the Bengal-Raven game?
This is Red Sox Review. I'm going to give you a gift right here, Ben, okay? Now, seeing how I am the kernel of controversy, I'm actually going to bestow that name onto you since it is not one of your 58 names, okay, or 158 names.
Well, I only have 40. I have 41 official nicknames.
Well, now AJ, you have the kernel of controversy. So since this is the Boston Review, while all of Boston is listening right now, I'm going to ask you one question. The Dodgers might meet the Red Sox in the World Series. So since you're asking us where we are going to stand, Ben Maller, the new kernel of controversy. You tell us where you stand if the Red Sox and the Dodgers meet up in the World Series, brother.
Look at you, AJ. Well, as you know, AJ, when the Red Sox and Dodgers play, you throw out the records if they should meet in the World Series. And see, I would love that because you know what that is, AJ? That's a no-lose situation, AJ. That is a win-win. That's like having a table full of chocolate chip cookies, and then in the next table you've got apple pie, and you've got cake, and you've got every delicious dessert you could possibly want, AJ.
I'm asking you right now in front of everybody out in Boston.
Oh, listen, AJ, you know who I'm picking, AJ. I'd pick the Dodgers to win that. You know that,
Boston,
AJ.
Red Sox review.
That's right, AJ.
Man,
yeah, that's right.
On
that's
drive.
Right, AJ.
Oh, my God.
Well, Dan, yes.
I'm going to let you go and let you take the flack.
I will take the flack, yes. All right, get the hell out of here. What's wrong with you? Now, I don't want to talk about Trump yet. Let's not talk about anything controversial on the radio because we should not do that. Knucklehead. Knucklehead, 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 knucklehead. Let's go to Paul who's driving around. He's on his cell. What's going on, Paul? You're next up. It's Red Sox Review here.
Hi, Ben. Enjoy your show.
Thank you. What's up? What you got for me?
Hey, Alex Cora. I like him even more now. We need more people like Alex Cora, more athletes, more managers, coaches. Speak up. What are you afraid of? This is what we need in this country.
But now, see, Paul, I'm gonna disagree to a point. He's got the right to do it, Paul. But
right.
Don't people go? They don't want to. Do you want to hear this stuff? Like, if you
well, why not? I mean, come on. The other side. I mean, come on. You got the most individual running this country right now, an habitual liar who lies 24/7, and nobody's going to respond to him.
All right, but Paul.
This guy.
All right, but Paul, listen to me. What if it was the other side? What if Cora had come out and said, yes, Donald Trump's absolutely right. These reports are erroneous. I love the president. Would you feel the same way, Paul?
He's got a right to say it then. I hear it on this radio station all morning long from the Callahans of the world. Callahan's exactly like the president. He's a hypocrite and he's a liar. He's been caught so many times lying and being a hypocrite is ridiculous.
Well, listen,
he'll respond in the morning.
You're all worked up, Paul. Yeah. All right. My goodness. Everyone, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is what you have done. This is confirmation, right? Confirmation. Alex Cora, his comment. We got people, their blood boiling on this, boiling. And these were pretty, you know, because it was involving Donald Trump and questioning Donald Trump, their controversial comments. And he tried, Alex Cora, to not go all the way in, but when he said the word disrespectful, that was all it took. That was all it took, and so now people are slicing up these comments. If you're just turning on the radio, we are talking about not only the Red Sox game tonight, as they get the win over the Blue Jays, and thanks to some baseball incompetence by Toronto, the Red Sox able to get the win, but you have Alex Cora, who's from Puerto Rico, going on the record prior to the game in a meet and greet with the Red Sox reporters there, and he was asked about Donald Trump's comments on Twitter about the devastation Hurricane Maria caused back in 2017. It's been a story. It's been on the news the last couple of days. The president reacted to it. He claimed that the reports of 3,000 people dying were not correct, that story has been embellished. And he said after the storm hit, this is what he said on Twitter, the president, that there were anywhere from 6 to 18 people that died. As time went on, President Trump said that number did not go up by much. And then he said a long time later, they started to report, they being the media, that the numbers were much larger than that. And so Cora commented on it. He was asked about it. He didn't shy away from it. He didn't say, I'm not going to talk about that. As we played the soundbite here, which Matt has played a couple of times, we'll play it again at some point. He said, listen, I don't like to get into politics. But then he got into politics. And he said, the issue does not lie with how many people died in Puerto Rico or how many the number was that was reported, but that people were affected. And in the debate, And some people seem to think they have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, but I've seen both sides of these reports. That is the issue on the federal government as far as the resources that were sent to Puerto Rico, or is the issue on the side of the local politicians, the local people of Puerto Rico, who where does the fault lie in that? And so Cora has chimed in on this, and we'll get your thoughts if you want to comment on that, and we can also get back into hardcore sports radio baseball conversation about the third starter in the playoffs, which is either going to be Porcello, Rick Porcello, or E-Rod. That is a decision that Alex Cora and the Brains are going to have to make. Time now for the Who Am I game, a blatant attempt to get you to listen a couple minutes longer. Do not call for this. You can answer it on Twitter, and that is at Ben Maller on Twitter. That's at Ben Maller. The Thursday night NFL game just going final a couple moments ago. The Bengals get a win, by the way. In prime time, that doesn't happen very often when the Bengals win a primetime game. They beat the Ravens tonight by 11, so the Bengals win. If you bet on the Bengals, they won, and that's the NFL final from tonight. Time now for the Who Am I game, and it refers to Alex Cora. Why not? Theme of the night. Alex Cora has become the fifth person to lead a team to 100-plus wins in his first season as a big league manager. The first since me. Again, Alex Cora, now the Red Sox up to 101 wins. He's the fifth person to lead a team to over 100 wins in his first season as a big league manager. The first to do it since me. Who am I? The answer. More of your calls. We'll get to that. We'll do it next.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
You know, you see the hurricanes forming now. Everybody's panicking, you know, and it's not easy. But, hey, one thing for sure, and I told you guys before, one thing I'm proud is, like, we're standing up on our own 2 feet. Like, do we need help? Yeah, we do. We know that. But we've been battling through it. We're not where we were, but we will be there. And it's just a matter of time. But, you know, it's a little bit kind of like frustrating that the topic keeps coming and coming and coming. What's the point, honestly, you know? And I respect him, you know, he's the president of the United States, but I don't agree with a lot of stuff that he says about us.
All right, so that's the comment of the night there, Alex Cora. That was before tonight's game with the Blue Jays, where the Red Sox get another win. So where do you stand on this? We're hearing people call up here and they're like, hey, I love it, it's great. Getting all worked up, got people blood boiling, their blood pressure is going through the roof here. As you heard at the end there of that soundbite that producer Matt just played, he said, I respect the president, which is important because that will calm down President Trump from tweeting something. If he finds out that part of it, but the question is simple here. Did Alex Cora make a mistake? And my position is yes. Now, he has the right to say it, and as a talk show host, yes. If I'm working for the Red Sox, I'm annoyed by this. Right? I'm bothered by this because now what's going to happen? Now you're going to have the follow-up questions. The tentacles of this story are going to be, you're going to go around the locker room and you're going to go to certain players on the team and say, let's go up to J.D. Martinez. J.D., do you agree with Alex Cora? Do you agree with what he had to say and his comments about Puerto Rico and that Donald Trump was disrespectful? That's what's known as a loaded question, because whatever J.D. Martinez says is going to be twisted around to fit an agenda. Because if J.D. Martinez says, no, I don't think Trump was disrespectful, then you have the headline on the tabloid or the website that says J.D. Martinez disagrees with Alex Cora. Chasm in the locker room. If he agrees with Alex Cora, then the headline is Red Sox against Trump, J.D. Martinez getting political, and all, which I don't, based on some of the postings of J.D. Martinez in the past, I think he would be more on the side of Donald Trump. But the point is, that's the kind of stuff that's going to happen. You're going to go around to prominent Red Sox and ask them their comments, which is good for talk radio. It's wonderful for talk radio. And I don't have all the answers. I've been paying attention. I go to do a little cardio in the morning, and I have usually listen to Kirk and Callahan, but they got the news on in the morning while I'm on the treadmill, half awake, half asleep, after my overnight show. And so I've seen a lot of this coverage the last couple of days, and I remember when it happened in 2017. But when you say you don't want to make something a political issue, but you then made it a political issue, right? Because there's this great debate whether or not to play the blame game. We always play the blame game. I love playing the blame game when you're talking about, who's to blame when the team sucks and when they don't perform well. But in this particular case, it's who's responsible for people dying after a hurricane. Much, much bigger stakes, clearly, right? So is it FEMA? Now, the reports I saw said FEMA was ready to go, and they had things lined up for Puerto Rico. And then there's the issue of, well, what happened? Was it somewhere along the way where they had things lined up and then they screwed it up, or was it just the local officials in Puerto Rico that were corrupt? But this is more about Alex Cora and his reaction to that. We'll get more phone calls on this also, but let me pay off the Who Am I game, because people get very upset with me when I don't pay off the Who Am I game as you listen to WEEI and Red Sox Review. Here it is. Alex Cora in the dugout, becoming the fifth person to lead a team to 100-plus wins in his first season as a big league manager. Only five in the history of baseball. The first since me. The first since me. Who am I? That's the question. What's the answer? Rob, listening on the radio.com app to WEEI in Vegas, is going with fake news. JR checks in with Bam Bam Bigelow as his answer. Paul Molitor from the Lions fan. Billy Martin. That's from Brian, actually. Billy Martin, guest by Joe. Maury Wills, tossed out by Robbie, the Mariner fan. A lot of my guys, the Maller Militia guys, are locked and loaded here. I like this one. Bobby Valentine. Bobby Valentine, guest by Steve. Yes, that certainly with the Red Sox, he won 100 games total. You know, no, I don't think he was even around long enough to win 100 games total. The correct answer, Dusty Baker. The last manager in his first year to win 100 games was Dusty Baker way back in the early 90s with the San Francisco Giants. He won 103 games, and I believe the Giants didn't make the playoffs that year. That was before the wild card. That was one of the reasons the wild card came into effect, things like that. The Giants won 103 games. I don't believe they made the playoffs. I don't think that's how that worked out for him. I believe they lost out. Was that back when the Atlanta Braves were in the National League West? I think it was. The other managers, you've got Sparky Anderson back with the Cincinnati Reds. I got stuck behind Sparky Anderson one time after he was done managing the Tigers, and he drove like he looked. He drove about 30 miles an hour, and I got stuck behind him, and it was the most frustrating experience. I don't have time to get into that now. Who else? We got Ralph Houck and also Mickey Cochran, the other guys on the list. All right, to the phones we go, and let's go to John, who is in Maine, and John is next. What's going on, John?
Good evening. So, you know, I think there's nothing wrong with Cora saying that he thought Trump's tweets or comments were disrespectful, and then saying that he respects President Trump. I think that the comments were disrespectful, and I think President Trump spends a little bit too much time on the internet, and he buys into conspiracy theories. That served him well pre-presidency while he was campaigning, but it doesn't serve him well now. I wanted to respond to him saying that Trump supporters don't accept the information from like Harvard and these institutions in America. It's not that we don't accept the information. It's that it's within our right to believe whatever we want as an American citizen. And we feel so disenfranchised by these institutions that operate in this country that is a culmination of why Trump is president now, whether people like it or not. So that's just where we're at as a country right now.
So you're a Trump supporter, John?
Yes.
Yeah, I got you. All right. I think what you're saying here is that there's a lot of bias reporting because Trump is everything that politics has never been, at least in our lifetimes, right? He's not a politician.
He's not a politician.
And he is he's really upsetting a lot of politicians. Like, the political world has been turned upside down, and they don't like it. And so it's a combination of things, because you've got Trump, who does do things that are not like any other president, and they're not always good. You'd agree with me on that, John, right? He says things that are just outrageous.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. I mean, so you've got that. And then you have the combination of people who are trying to hold on to this setup of politics in America, that are concerned that this is now going to become the new normal, that, you know, maybe Trump won't win again, but there'll be some other reality star or some other, you know, wrestling personality that's going to run and win. And then it's never going to be like it was before Donald Trump.
I don't think that's the case, but I think there will be a mix of it, and they're going to have to ride this out and figure out a way to set it back to the norms that they're used to. But right now, this is what it is. It's not the norm.
Well, it's the new normal. For now, it's the new normal. All right, thank you, John. Let's go to let's sneak one more in real quick. Let's go to Steve in Miami, my guy Steve. What's going on, Steve?
How are you, Big Ben?
Hello, Steve. Hello. Everything's wonderful, Steve. It's good to talk.
I have a football question, but first I want to say this. I'm sure that if you asked people, of course, if they're right not to say it, if you asked people if they were for Trump or not for Trump, you would get your answer about Cora. Now, I firmly believe that what Cora is saying is he's passionate about his location where he grew up, and San Juan. I work with a colleague who is upset with what Trump is saying as well. We have known that Trump is very insensitive many times. I mean, I still remember before he was elected what he did to the person from the podium, making because he was handicapped, the reporter. I mean, so it's not the first time he's been broiled in this type of controversy with America. I mean, this is the strangest presidency, I would have to say, we all have known in our lifetime.
Yeah, it's also, though, Steve, it's the greatest for the news media. It's the greatest.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It is a gold mine. There will never be another situation. This is a unique situation. But you know, if you're just turning on, you're saying, what the hell happened to WEEI? What are we doing, politics here? Now, the reason we're talking about this is because Alex Cora, your beloved Red Sox manager, he was asked about Donald Trump's comments on Twitter about Puerto Rico, and he didn't decline to answer. He answered it, and people are all fired up because he said, well, I respect the president, but Donald Trump's words were disrespectful to his home where he grew up. He's a native of Puerto Rico. And so now this debate has continued into the late night hours. All right, what else you got for me there, Steve?
Well, before one more thing about this. When the Red Sox, not if, when the Red Sox beat your Dodgers or any other team, sorry about that, Big Ben.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting. And then I have this one quick question about football. It'll be very interesting when the Red Sox go to the White House. That becomes another story. When Cora faces Trump at the, will he go? Will he not go? You know, it will become another, it may die down now, but then will be brought back again.
Yeah.
When the Red Sox
will anyone, as these sports teams, you know, go? There'll be like a shell of players that go, although the baseball players are not nearly as political. This is not like the NBA where you've got the star players in basketball who are very political and they're operatives of whatever political party, which I guess is the Democratic Party that they represent.
Or the NFL with the kneeling and all that. A lot of people who haven't gone, players and all that. But here's the question I have with football. We know how Roger, I call him No Goodell, goes after Patriots players and all that, and other teams as well. Yet, explain to me this, Big Ben, would you please?
Yeah.
We have a player named Michael Kendricks who admitted to insider trader charges. Yet he's able, he's finding himself guilty. Yet Roger No Goodell and the NFL is allowing him to sign a contract with the Seahawks. I have no understanding of that at all.
Yeah.
He is admitting guilt and a major thing like that. He's up to possibly, he could get up to 25 years imprisonment yet the Seahawks are allowed. And forget about the Seahawks.
You're right, Steve. I'll let you go on that because we're up against it, as they say in the radio business, which makes you sound really official when you say up against it, which is a clock that we're up against. But just a couple of thoughts. I'm going to actually rant about that later on my overnight show. But I saw the story you're referring to. Michael Kendricks agreed to a contract with Seattle, and he's going to play in the game Monday night. The Seahawks play in Chicago, and Kendricks is going to be playing linebacker for Seattle. He's facing 25 years in jail for insider trading. He's not going to get 25 years in jail, but the number that I saw was 2.5 to 3 years in jail, somewhere in that neighborhood, which is more time in jail than I would like to do, and it's a federal crime, so he's going to have to spend, 80%, I believe, is the number with the federal amount of time you have to spend. You can't get out after, like, one day, which in some locations, when you commit a crime, you're out in one day. So it's a wild story. He's getting sentenced in January. My theory is the NFL does not have anything in their bylaws about white-collar crime. They only have blue-collar crime because this is unprecedented. Now, you think of most of the crimes that are committed by NFL players, and they are of an assault nature or a domestic assault, or even you go criminal with robbery. We've seen players, Aaron Hernandez, with murder. I can't recall another white-collar criminal as an active player in the NFL, which is what this guy Kendricks is. All right, we'll press on as it is Red Sox. We will shift into late night, get into the Patriots a little bit more on this Alex Cora story. Alex Cora going on the record here, and he has now thrown himself into the political theater, the Red Sox manager. Oh, he did it in a classy way. More on that. We'll get to it, and we'll do it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.